Hello, everybody. Today is the 5th April 2025. We are gathered here for the 178th session of Mindfulness for Beginners in English. I would like to warmly welcome Venerable Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero to this session and everyone who will be participating via Zoom, Facebook live stream, or who may be watching later. Our program, as usual, will commence with the in-session practice of mindfulness, which will be followed by today's topic, a talk on today's topic, and then we will have time for the reports and any questions towards the end. To start the mindfulness session, I'd like to welcome Bante. Over to you, Bante.
Thanks, Sonali. Hello, everyone. So today, as the activity, we'll do some exercise which you need a piece of paper and a pen for this one. So if you can quickly gather a piece of paper and a pen, we can start in a couple of minutes. Everyone ready with a piece of paper and a pen? You can turn on video for this one and join even more actively. Okay, now as the activity today, we are going to think about our usual week and we are going to create a breakdown of the hours that we spend. Maybe weekdays, you might have a certain schedule. During the weekends, you might have a certain schedule. So we are going to break down the hours that we spend into different categories. For example, work. Work might be one category. Then home chores. Then probably exercise. Then leisure activities. And probably some meditation time as well. Hopefully you have time for that as well. So what we are going to do is, we are going to put these hours, for example, work hours, how many work hours on a Monday. And probably it'll be same throughout the day, maybe except Friday. So you can figure out the number of hours that you spend on work per week. Traveling time might too be included in that category. Then you can have certain time for your personal commitments, the chores at home, those type of things. Maybe you have daily time for exercise. Maybe you get 5 hours of sleep every day. And most importantly, how many hours per day that you get to spend with your family. Right, so that way you can decide your own categories and let's see how the breakdown shows us number of hours against each of these categories. Might be difficult to figure out the exact number of hours for each activity. During the weekends, you might have extra hours for family time, maybe some leisure time. Are we done with the breakdown or do you need more time? Okay, right. If you are done, would you like to share the different categories and the number of hours against each one? Yes, Chamari, go ahead.
Avsarai Bante. I'm finding it really amusing. There are some leftover time. I don't know where it's gone. So like for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I think the average work, because I decide how much or how little I work, so it's like average 5 hours for the week. And the home chores, again, an average of about 2.5 or 3 hours. Exercise on a Monday and Saturday, it's roughly 1.5 hours because I go to a class as well. Other days, it's like half an hour or 1 hour. Leisure activities, family time, time with friends, it's again about 2.5 hours average. Meditation time, it's just under 1.5 hours for this last week. Sleep had varied between 6.5 hours to 7.5. But the Monday adds up to 21.5 hours. So I don't know where the rest's gone. Then Tuesday, it's like 18.5 hours I can account for. And also Wednesday the same, Thursday the same. On Friday, it was only 16 hours, including the sleep. So, yeah, that's me.
Maybe those extra hours are transition time. No,
yeah.
No idea. I mean, 8 hours are lost on a Thursday, it seems, yes. Right, so that's interesting. You know, it's good to see the breakdown. Like, you know, your schedule seems like very flexible and, you know, balanced. You have many hours for leisure time, then meditation, family time, so that's a good sign. You have a certain kind of a balance in the schedule, right? So you can figure out where those missing hours are gone. With better reflection, you can figure out. Anybody else? Anybody else would like to share? Yes, Lushani.
I was very Bhante. So I separated my time within like work, travel, home chores, exercise, leisure activities, meditation, contemplation, elder care and friend care, sleep, family, and then voluntary work as well. And then, so the consistent one is obviously like 8 hours Monday to Friday for work. But Saturday, Sunday, happy to say that it's a zero for work. And then I sleep 8 hours every day. Like that's one consistently throughout the week. And then on Sunday, I have slept a bit more as well. So that's good. Apart from that, then home chores, I think, is like the least except for Saturday and Sunday. It's like just 1 hour. Then exercise every day, I do like an hour. Leisure activities, again, like a hour, but on Thursday I met with a friend, so I have more hours there with my school friend, so that's nice. And then Saturday, Sunday again a bit more. Meditation again consistent. Elder care, because my in-laws are with us, so I devote some time to care for them as well. And then family, obviously, less during the week, but Saturday and Sunday, predominantly family. And then every day about 1 hour for voluntary work, which I do, like I like to do, allocate like a little bit of time. So yeah, that's my schedule. I think I lost like 1 or 2 hours just on Monday and Tuesday, but apart from that, usually it's 1 day I had 25 hours as well. So I'm opposite to Chamari. I have gone and gained. Actually, I think I had 25 or 26 hours, so I had to reduce some. So I don't know how I managed to increase my hours during the day.
Right, maybe Chamari's hours went to you, it
I
seems. Right, so that too is, kind of a balanced one. So good to see that you have 8 hours of sleep every day. That's very nice. That's a luxury many of us don't have. Then exercise, family time. So you get the idea. Let's make sure that you have a certain balance in this schedule or in this breakdown. Any other ideas, comments, anybody else?
Bhante, I too didn't account for all 24 hours. I don't, must have lost some in the process as well. I
Right.
only work part time. Well, that's still late afternoon. But I do have some time allocated. I do a lot of sewing for my children's dancing activities. I do costumes for them. So I do about 2 or 3 hours of it. Some days I do half a day of it. It all depends on how it is. But I seem to also have lost some hours. Although my sleep hours are about 7 to 8 hours. Actual sleeping, and if you ask one of those modern watches how much you have slept, I have slept even less, so I'm not really sure. I might be lying in the bed without sleeping, actual sleeping, for a lot longer actually.
Right, so the sewing time, do you consider it as a hobby or do you consider it as family chores? What category would you put?
Sometimes it is a chore, sometimes I enjoy it. It depends on the project I'm working on at the moment. If it's giving me a lot of trouble, I'm not enjoying it at all, then it's a chore. So it depends. Sometimes it's quite enjoyable. Same with like gardening. Sometimes that would be a very, hard job that I would be, cutting down branches or something more hard. Sometimes it's very therapeutic and very meditative to do the gardening. It's a very enjoyable activity. So yeah, it depends on when I do it, how I do it. But there seemed to be a lot of time lost, and that could be me dilly-dallying. That could be me sitting around, looking around, doing nothing, or just enjoying a cup of tea, or I don't really know, or maybe watching telly that, and I've lost time, or scrolling through social media. I've lost time.
Right.
It could be any of
Yes.
those.
Yes. So, as you said, that's some, valuable idea that some of these activities, they can be hobbies if you enjoy them, and sometimes they become work or home chores, right? So that's somewhat bothering, but if you can enjoy such activities, then it's like a meditation. The meditative kind of a mindset you can maintain. Right, so you get the idea. We were just wanted to reflect on the week and see the breakdown, how many work hours, how many for sleep, exercise, family time, leisure activities, meditation, so that type of a breakdown, it's good to reflect upon it and see, how am I spending my time? Is it basically work or is it always family responsibilities, chores, and things like that? Or do you have some me time? The time that you enjoy, time for your hobbies, or time for you to, just sit and enjoy a cup of tea? So that type of a breakdown would be helpful for you to figure out how it is. And one comment that I wanted to make, I started trying to create a breakdown, but I couldn't really figure out what are the exact activities I'm doing. So many hours lost in my schedule. So I could only account for like few hours. So I gave up. So that's the thing. So maybe I too am losing time. Yeah, I'm sure for me, I have a lot of, just sitting and hanging around time. That I am sure. Then I have certain hours for the daily routine. As a community, we have to, every day go through and participate. So such hours are there. Then sometimes I get around 8 hours of sleep. Sometimes it reduced to about 5 hours. So a varying schedule I have, but anyway, I tried to create the breakdown, but I gave up halfway into the activity. So that might need some time for me to create a real breakdown of my schedule. Yes, Lushani, yes.
Namaste, Bante. I mean, I think listening to everyone and sort of looking at my schedule, something I was thinking is like whether I don't have any like just sitting down and doing nothing time. Like I know I have a good balance, you said, but I can see I have a balance, but sometimes I feel like I don't have that sort of sitting down in the garden or something and just doing nothing. I feel like I'm always doing something.
Right, so your complaint might be that you can account for many hours of the day.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you have like full 24 hours, it goes to show that my day is packed. Like, I mean, I know I'm sleeping properly, but I feel like I don't have even like a half an hour that I can say I sat down with a cup of tea, like you said, and did nothing, just had a cup of tea looking at the garden or the fish or whatever and did nothing at all. I think I don't have that. So maybe that's something for me to insert into my daily schedule, because otherwise I'm always doing something.
Yep. Yep. That's very true. That's a good insight that you have into your own schedule, because, if our day is fully packed and we know exactly what we are doing each and every hour, that might create a lot of, stress. You're on this schedule and you run through it, right? So it's good to have some, at least like a 1 hour of, don't plan it. Don't try to plan. Yeah, lost hour. And if you try to plan it, that's also not going to work, It's like, whenever you feel like it, even, on the way traveling, just stop the car and, drink a cup of coffee and have a walk. It should be like, unplanned. And, whenever you feel like it, you spend some time. That time is lost. But I think that's a time that well spent. Right? So that's a good insight that you got into your own schedule. So I think some of us, we have a problem of having so many such hours. Losing time, many hours lost, and not sure whether they have gone into what, right? So that type of a balance you can create, and you can come into some kind of a like comfortable, balanced way of spending your time. Right, so that's it for today's activity. I hope you get the idea. So you can create your own breakdown and see how the time is spent. What are the activities? What are the work hours? What are the sleeping hours? What are the exercising hours? Meditation, family time, home chores, right? So that way we can see how we are spending time. And today's insight is it's good to have some some time lost. Without any particular task, you simply sit and, simply enjoy the moment, right? So that way we can reflect our own daily schedules and come into some kind of a balanced schedule. That's the idea. With that, Sonali, you can take over.
Thank you, Bantin. That was very useful to see what my day was like. Never put it down on paper before, so it was very useful. So next on the agenda is the talk on today's topic. The topic is freedom versus safety. We started this topic last week, so to continue this, I invite Panthe again to start the talk.
Okay, everyone. So this topic we started last time and we discussed certain aspects of it, right? Today, again, we are going to take some time to discuss different aspect. I think I touched this last time, but we'll discuss this part today and try to relate it to our daily lives. Now, let's say when we think about the way we spend time, like a weekly schedule that we have done in the activity today, right? Many of these hours we spend, maybe let's say work hours, we have many hours of work, and those hours somehow you have to go through them, somehow you have to power through them. And why do you do it? Because you should have the financial security. You have to make sure that you are secured in that area. Then let's say, again, there could be few more hours apart from work hours. For example, family chores, shopping and things like that, right? So those things also you have to somehow spend. Make sure that your family is security, right? So this way, when we think about our weekly schedule, we spend so many hours trying to find security. It could be financial security. You know, you have to have your health insurances and things like that. You have to have you have to maintain your facilities, maybe pay rent, or maybe have a car. All those things, we spend so many hours, we work so hard, and we earn them to make sure that we are secured. Our financial status is secured. Our comfortable lifestyle is secured, right? So this way, we spend many hours. And in return, we give up our freedom. In a way, you give up many hours of your free time, of your freedom, in order to make sure that you earn properly, in order to make sure that your household is properly run. Right? So that way, you can see that in a week, we spend so many hours making sure that we are secured, right? So that's the way we live. That becomes mandatory. And some of the countries, you have to spend even more time making sure that you earn properly. For example, let's say Sri Lanka, many people have to work long hours, making sure that they earn the money that they need, right? Certain countries, you might have to spend less number of hours. Certain countries, you might have to spend many hours. So by spending these hours, by going through work, we make sure that our lifestyles are secured. So in a way, we sacrifice our freedom to make sure that we secure a good lifestyle, right? So that way we spend time. And with the new technology, with all the facilities, with these internet advances and things like that, you would think that you would have many free hours. But instead, with the technology, with all these advances, people, they spend even more hours making sure that they earn properly, making sure that they maintain their lifestyles. So if you think about it, let's say if you study the history few centuries ago, then people didn't use so many hours for work. They didn't go to work for so many hours. And I found this very interesting fact. About few centuries ago, the persons, they worked 140 days per year. Only 140 days per year. Now, it's approximately 260 work days per year. So you can see, we are spending many more hours trying to make sure that we are secured. We sacrifice our freedom in order to make sure that we are secured. That's how we live in this modern age. And if we think about a society without any rules, then you can do whatever the things that you like. Not only you, even the others can do whatever the things that they like. Right? So what will happen is that society will be in utter chaos. Because people will find ways to get whatever the things that they like. You'll have a lot of freedom, but you'll be living with continuous fear. You don't know what will happen to you. You don't know that somebody might come and take your things. Right? So in a way, that type of a society, you have a lot of freedom, but you have less safety. And since it is not working, we have decided that we need a society with all the rules and regulations. That's the government. And the government, they try to maintain certain kind of a certain set of a set of rules, making sure that the society can function. And in return, they say, give us tax, give us little bit of your freedom in exchange for safety, right? So that's what it is. You pay tax, making sure that you are safe in this environment. You are safe in this society, right? So that way, little by little, we sacrifice many hours of our time trying to make sure that we have the security. By sacrificing many hours, we make sure that we live secured lives and our lifestyles are secured. Right? So that way we function, that way we spend the time. And what happens is that when you work many hours, when your lifestyles become very complex, that very complexity will break you one day, right? There's a certain level of complexity that our minds can handle. There is a certain limited energy in our mind. So when the things become more and more complex, that very complexity might break you one day, right? So that's why in this new age, we have a lot of mental health issues, mental health problems, and many drug addictions you can see. Why so many people are addicted to drugs? Why do they waste their lives like that? Because they couldn't handle this complexity in the society. They couldn't run the rat race that they were supposed to run. So some might end up losing their mental health. Some might end up being addicted to drugs. So that way you can see in this new age, many people are left behind, especially the most rich countries in the world. Although a lot of people are living comfortable lives, there are certain communities that are left behind. You can see certain streets that you can't walk in the night. Maybe homeless people, maybe drug addicts are in those streets. It feels like a totally different world. It feels like a zombie kind of a world. So you can see such communities are left behind by the society. They become ill with their mental health and they couldn't handle the complex situations. Maybe they got addicted to drugs, things like that. So you can see that happened. And I came to know about this research that they have done. That research was done using rats. And in one cage, there were certain rats, and that cage was very small, and they didn't have proper facilities and things like that. And that cage was supplied with normal water. And another supply was there, water that is mixed with cocaine. Right? So in this confined cage where these rats are living, these rats directly go to the cocaine mixed water. They don't taste the normal water. Instead, they go for the cocaine water. And they have done the same experiment in a different environment. They have created this huge cage with many trees and all the space that the rats need. And they could have good food. And they have many creatures there, many number of rats. As a community, they can live. So they created this different environment, more comfortable, more pleasing environment, and requirements are supplied. In that environment, the same normal water as well as the cocaine water was supplied. And they have found in this second environment, the rats rarely go for the cocaine water. They are satisfied in their environment and they don't need that additional drug in order to survive. So that's an interesting research. Confined in a small cage, stressed, they directly go for the cocaine water. Living in a comfortable space with much space and all the other requirements, they don't go for that drug. Right? So that's interesting research that they have done. And it's based on rats. But when we think about our lifestyles also, if we are living in a confined environment, if we have too much stress in our lives, if we are broken due to the many number of hours that we spend for so many things, then our mental health is poor and we might look for a bandage, a fast solution, right? But if we have a comfortable kind of a mindset, if we go out, spend more me time, family time, exercise, walk in nature, if you do that type of a change in your lifestyle, then there's no urge for you to look for a drug to satisfy you, right? So that type of a difference that we can see in this research, and that type of a difference we can see in human lives as well. So if you are too stressful, if you have many hours of work each day, if you don't get to go outside, if you don't get time to spend with your family and friends, then that's not a good sign. You might secure your lifestyles by working so many hours, but at the end of the day, that very schedule will break you. That very complexity will break you. Right? So you have to make sure that you are doing this trade-off wisely. You trade your freedom for your safety, but you have to make sure that you are doing it wisely. Otherwise, if you sacrifice too much of your freedom in order to be safe and secure in your lifestyles, then that's not a good sign. Sacrificing your freedom might come back one day and break you. Right? So that's the very idea of this topic. We have to make sure that at least we are conscious of this trade-off. If you want to be safe, if you want to be secure, then you might have to sacrifice a lot of your freedom. You can't have both. They are not synonymous. Instead, these are opposite goals. You can either have your freedom or you can either have your safety. So we can't live without our safety, no? We can't live completely free without any safety. We need safety. We need security. So what can we do is we can become more conscious of this trade-off. Become more conscious and see how many hours or how much of your freedom that you sacrifice for the safety, in return for the safety. That very consciousness is important. Otherwise, you'll simply get deeper and deeper into that complexity, and one day it might break you. You have to make sure that you choose wisely. You have to make sure that you become conscious of this trade-off. So the security and freedom, they are opposite goals. You can't have both. It's always a trade-off. If you sacrifice many hours of your freedom, then you can have a lot of security in your lifestyles. But when you want to have freedom, then you might have to give up security in your lifestyle. So it's always a trade-off. So what we recommend is try to be conscious of this trade-off. Know that you are exchanging many hours of your freedom for the safety in your lifestyles, for the security in your lifestyles, right? That very consciousness can help you. By becoming conscious, you can make wise choices. You can decide what are the things that you need in your life. What are the things that you don't need in your life. How can you find out at least a couple more hours of freedom? Right? So that way, becoming conscious of this trade-off is important. Little by little, you can find a proper balance with that consciousness. Even when we think about the meditation practice, in a way, it's a way of getting out of this vicious cycle. Because you can't really change your lifestyles overnight. That's not possible. You have done it for many decades. You have sacrificed so many hours of freedom already. And you are in this vicious cycle. Every day you go to work, you come home, you do your responsibilities. Without you even knowing, days, weeks, and months fly by. That way, the time goes. And it's not easy to get out of this schedule. It's not easy to get out of this vicious cycle. So what we recommend as the meditation practice is becoming conscious, being aware that this happens. Little by little, with that consciousness, you can find a way to increase or improve your freedom. That could be making wise choices in your daily life. That could be meditating in your mind, changing your priorities. So that way, little by little, with this consciousness, you can find ways to become more free. Let's say when your priorities have changed, even your home chores, even many hours of things that you do, you can turn them into meditation. Now it is no longer a rat race. Now it is no longer stressful. Instead, you dedicate these activities for meditation. You make the meditation the priority. Instead of powering through and instead of trying to complete all these activities, you change your priorities and make sure that you become conscious, you become mindful doing these activities, and you can turn them into meditation. That's why even during that activity, that exercise, I asked whether you consider these activities as work or home chores, or whether you consider these activities as hobbies. Hobby is something that doesn't stress you. Hobbies, they don't create stress. If you make them work, then it is creating stress. For example, let's say after many hours of work, you come home in the evening. And when you come home, you know sometimes you have to do few more hours of home chores. Right? Even on the way, you are stressed because you know that you have to do these things after coming home. You have to wash these dishes and things like that. Maybe prepare meals for tomorrow, things like that. So even before coming home, on the way back, you are stressed knowing that you have to spend maybe 2-3 more hours doing these home chores. So that's a good way to create additional stress. That's a good way to, you know, create more issues in your mental health. But instead, let's say, if you don't consider them as work, if you simply consider them as meditation time or something like a hobby that you can enjoy, then that's a different mindset. With that mindset, it will be much easier for you to complete those things with less stress. You don't stress out doing these activities. Instead, they become more like hobbies that you can practice mindfulness, practice awareness, right? So that way, we can make sure that we are living these lives with a certain level of freedom, especially this baggage in your mind, especially this dead weight in your mind. That is the main bottleneck. It doesn't matter that you work. What matters is this dead weight in your mind. When you do something you love, then there is no heaviness. Right? So if you can find something that you love as work, then you might not have to do many hours of work per week. Instead, you are doing something that you love. That doesn't create stress. Right? So that way, we can turn our lives for the better. We can make sure that we are finding the proper balance in our lifestyles. Make sure that we create less stress and find some kind of a freedom within us. Especially this mental baggage, especially this dead weight, you have to be conscious and you have to let go of it little by little, right? Especially, let's say, if you are a person with many responsibilities, if you have children, then always there's this dead weight in your mind, thinking about the future of your children, thinking and worrying that something bad might happen to them. Those type of thoughts might come to you. Then thinking about the responsibilities that you have, making sure that you secure a good lifestyle for them, right? So that way, the mind is always with this dead weight. Creating additional stress, and you know, it's like a mental baggage that's in you. That's not helping, that's not good for you. So you can do all those things. You can make sure that your children have a good life. You can make sure that their safety is okay. But there's a way that you can do all these things and not stress out. That's important. That change is important, right? So that's why we recommend doing this type of a practice and making sure that you create certain kind of a space in your mind, certain kind of a freedom in your mind. With that freedom, you can do many things, but you won't be stressed out at the end of the day. And that's the very idea of meditation, making sure that we are secured in a certain way, but making sure that we don't sacrifice so much freedom. It's always a trade-off, but if you become more conscious about it, I'm sure you can find your own unique balance. Right, so that's the topic that we wanted to discuss. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Bhante. Next on the agenda is other reports. For this, I'll invite Lushani to start the reports and the questions.
Thank you, Sonali. Avasarai, Bhante. There is only one report today. I will read it out. Mindfulness during the day. Even though there was little formal sitting or walking practice this week, mindfulness
Shani, during... Could you go through the beginner's guide, please?
Oh, okay. I thought everybody here is not a beginner anymore, but I will. Sorry, Sonali. So like Vante said, it's important to sort of put that space and time into a practice. I think what we can really do is to get that space and time through mindfulness practice. So we have both mindful walking and sitting. And if you want to find out how to do it, there are these two links that Sonali has shared on YouTube, which you can watch and sort of get the basic techniques on how to mindfully do the walking practice and the sitting practice. And what we encourage is to, when you start initially doing it, try to do as much as you can. Start with like at least 15 minutes and then increase it every day. And essentially, I think if you can get like a 1 hour mindful sitting and a 1 hour mindful walking, that would be ideal. And then also continue to sort of be mindful throughout the day. So this is also having the awareness through the day and then also having the mindfulness. And then you can write a reflection report and send it to us. And either you can fill a Google form or email it to us at beginnersnv@gmail.com. And then once a week, we will read the reports and Bhante will give you advice based on your reflection report. So that's the basic guide. Thank you, Sonali, and thank you for the reminder. I will read the report now. Sarai Bhante. Even though there was little formal sitting or walking practice this week, mindfulness during the day was active. For example, was able to watch the mind and allow the other person to let off steam in a confrontational situation. They looked upset, facial expression showed annoyance, speech sounded quarrelsome, although lost interest in trying to understand the words. Became aware of the humor of the situation, one person so animated and the other person merely observing. At the end of that encounter, there was slight irritation in mind, which was then taken over by the humor. Still not sure what the complaint was about, so not sure if they had any resolution. Before the regular mindfulness practice, reactions would have been different. Now that the class starts an hour later in the UK, wondering how to get to the exercise class that starts 15 minutes before this class finishes. Again, a few years ago, the only option seen would have been to cancel one. Wanted a fair solution, so acknowledged it and let it be. Yesterday afternoon, a new option popped up into my mind. Attend mindfulness class and leave 25 minutes before the end to get to the exercise class. We'll try this and see. Can listen to the recording to pick up what was missed at the end of the mindfulness class afterwards. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback and immense gratitude for the practical guidance. Theruvan.
Okay, right. Thanks for the explanation or the sharing of reports. Now, the first one that went my attention to was that confrontational situation. Right. So there's this other person who is complaining, but you are simply observing. Your mind is not so much attached or so much interested in this situation. Right? So that's a very nice way to practice. That's a very nice observation. Now, let's say if your mind also reacted to this situation similar to the other person, then you might also start telling your things, creating additional problems, and sometimes, end up becoming enemies. Right? But instead of being simply the observer of this situation, not really getting into this argument, is a very nice way to maintain your balance. You can't do it intentionally. Instead, many hours of formal meditation is behind this achievement. That's how it comes. Let's say we find a commoner and we tell them, go and face this type of a situation without getting carried away. Can they do it? No, they will always get carried away because the other person is blaming me, complaining. I haven't done anything like that. So I should be protecting my ground. And their minds always react, right? But when you mention this type of a state in your mind, there are so many hours of formal meditation that is supporting you. You have done many hours of practice, and as a result, your mind is able to stay in this balanced state, right? So that's the very idea of this practice. It won't do marvels overnight. That's not possible. Instead, little by little, every day, at least like 1 hour, you do your formal practice, continue for a few months, and when those practicing hours are accumulating, when the mind is supported by those practicing hours, then only you will see how it is changing the behavior of your mind. The mind is there, you simply become the observer. You are no longer interested. Your mind is no longer interested in this argument. The other person is saying some things. It feels like you are listening, but you are not fully listening. Instead, your mind is more like a split mind, divided mind. Some attention is there in this situation, but some attention is simply lying comfortably inside, in your own comfort, right? So that's why you don't get carried away with such situations. Right, so you can continue and see how you can meet such situations in this new state of mind. Right, people come and complain, people take things so seriously and tell you that there are so many problems. Right, they argue with you. Certain things happen that you don't like. All these things are there, but still your mind is not so much moved by these things. It's like you have created a certain distance in your mind. From this fluctuating world, you have created a distance. The world is fluctuating, but your mind isn't, right? So that's the way of the practice. That's how it can change you. It can change the stress levels, right? Then the second one is the clashing classes, right? So those things come. It happens sometimes in certain things. You have to attend. You have to make sure that they are done. So just try the option that you have, and may, or you can always follow the missing part later. That way you continue, and after a while you find out a different solution. After a few months you find out a different solution. That's how it is, right? So things can happen. We might have to do certain things. Responsibilities come. But we are dedicated to continue this journey without changing ourselves because of the temporary obstacles, right? So things come, you might have to adjust according to them, but after a little while, after a few months, again you get back to the usual schedule. Again, you make sure that the priorities are met, right? So that way we can find the balance in our life. We can find the proper solution for these things, right? So you can try this option, and when you continue for a couple of months, I'm sure you can find a better solution, right? So that way we make sure that the priorities, we know our priorities. If you have that attitude, if you have that determination, then it doesn't matter what happens temporarily. It doesn't matter what obstacles that come your way. You always know your priorities. You always direct your attention. You always direct towards these priorities, right? So that way, continue. I'm sure you can go through these difficult periods. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you, Bhante, Mr. Ray. Now we can open for questions. If anyone has any questions to ask Bhante, please raise your Zoom hand, and we can unmute you. Any questions? Give it 5 more seconds. Looks like there aren't any questions, Bhante. So on that note, I will thank you so much for your guidance and the talk. May the merits be with you with that. And Avasarai Bhante, I will hand it back over to Sonali.
Thank you, Lishani. And usually we don't have any questions today. Usually we go over the time. If no one has any questions, because I will then end the session for everyone. So on behalf of the organizers, I'd like to thank Venerable Homagama Dhammakusila Thero for his continued guidance on this program. And of course, we cannot forget the Chief Abbot of Nisaranuwanaya, Venerable Udayirigama Dhammajiva Mahathero, whose idea was to initiate this program. And may they both use these merits to improve their own practice as well. Lushani, do you have a hand raised? Sorry.
Sonali, I was just wondering whether we should also let everyone know that there will be a retreat. Venerable Dhammajiva Thero and Venerable Chandaratana Thero will be visiting the UK.
Yes, so, please. We can forward the details on the group, but please tell.
Mm-hmm. So if you keep 7th to 9th free, that will be a 3-day day retreat at the Thames Buddhist Temple. But like Sonali said, she will forward the information to the group.
Thank you, Lushani. We will, when maybe the poster or something ready or any other details ready, we will share it with you and also post it on this chat group as well once it is ready. But it will not be till June. Is that right?
July.
July.
7th to 9th of July, but there is another retreat on the 29th, just a day retreat on the 29th of June, I think. But like you said, just to keep those days free, but there'll be posters coming out later.
Thank you, Rishani, for that reminder. Yes, so on behalf of the organizers, I would like to thank everyone who participated, shared your reports and sent in your ideas. We would also like to hear from you about any topics you'd like to discuss in the future as well. So please send us any of those to beginnersnv@gmail.com or send me a message and we'd like to discuss, we will discuss them in the future. With that, we will have our program continuing as usual, 1 p.m. Sri Lankan time. We have changed the British time. I think the Australian summer time will change, sorry, winter time will change very soon as well. We will update the posters with those. Remind us if there are any time schedule changing in your area, but it is always 1 p.m. Sri Lankan time. And I wish everyone has a happy and mindful week ahead. I can now end the session for everyone.